turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power.
Stand against. And if our God is for us, greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher.
Creation will proclaim, you are here, you are here. With you. We practiced this song this morning and nothing felt right. And I was thinking, man, oh, maybe we'll just run over. Maybe we'll just skip this song for this morning. But yesterday, I text quite a few people yesterday. And about a month ago, in a group text of about 15 guys, there was some conversation going on, and I said, the problem is during all of this COVID, the ball is in our court. We can't just go to church and just like act like everything's just fine, and now it's up to us. And I told everybody, I said, I'm kind of struggling with the ball in my court. I need some help, like, I got to get it straightened out. And yesterday, I was driving on the way to a job, and I was just kind of talking to God, not about anything serious, and the Holy Ghost just come down. And I was having a hard time just even seeing, because my tears were just flowing down. And this song, literally, God just put this song in my heart, and I started singing it. And I texted everybody yesterday, and I said, look, I said, this song is everything that we're going through right now. God is the source. This world has nothing for me. And I truly believe that. I think sometimes we just watch and listen and whatever to media and what's going on in this world, and it doesn't matter. We need to start not thinking, not worrying about it. We need to just get over that. God is our source. We need to just keep our eyes on God. So just worship this morning with this song. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. Jesus, come to my rescue.
Praise the Lord, church. There's such a sweet, sweet spirit of His presence in this place. Thank you, Brother Marv and worship team, Sister Kim. And Margaret, when did you start playing the bass? Quarantine hobby. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, some people, you know, they just waste their spare time. Margaret starts playing an instrument. Well, it's awesome. Just turn to your neighbor. You don't have to shake their hand or violate anybody's space. Just wave at one another and let everybody know, God bless you. So great to see you today. It is such a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I am so thankful. We're a little down. You can go ahead and be seated. We're a little down in attendance today. Normally, we, at this point in time, many, many, many of us are up in Shawano, and this is a starting day of our family camp, and I've had numerous people say, we've taken vacation and had anticipated going to camp, and camp's not taking place, so are you okay with us just taking vacation? And I'm like, no, because I'm doing the same thing. So my wife and I were going to do a stay-at-home vacation this week, but we'll be here Wednesday evening. Brother Benjamin Smith will be speaking Wednesday evening, and then he's going to do a two-part series that's going to follow up after the series that I'm going to be finishing this morning. And so he'll be speaking Wednesday evening and Sunday evening, pending a baby addition in their family doesn't happen. Sister Victoria is as Scripture says, heavy with child. And I talked to Brother Ben yesterday, and she was up at the hospital with contractions earlier this week, and they're expecting it to happen before Wednesday. So he was assured me that, yeah, I think we'll have it, almost like clockwork, like, yeah, she's going to go in. We'll see how all that works. Oh, we have some giving options this morning, and those will be on the board behind me up on the wall there, how different ways you can give. I think most of us probably know that by now. If you want to deposit an offering this morning out in the vestibule, there'll be a clear plexiglass box, I guess is what they call it. It's the box, the cube. And feel free. Also, I just want to stress, we've had across with weather getting nicer and people getting out and all of this and that, we have kind of another outbreak of all of this COVID, and I know a lot of people get real nervous and worried and such. So I don't want anyone here, if you're here this morning, obviously you're here this morning, I've just... If you are in attendance, sitting in your seat this morning, and you don't feel comfortable social distancing, or you don't feel comfortable with somebody invading your space or getting too close to you, you know, don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. If you're in a high-risk area, I told our bishop, I've told some of our older saints, I know Brother James Hawk, I've talked with him. I said, if you're in a high-risk area and you don't feel comfortable yet, just stay home. I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that, and if I was in your situation or your shoes, I would probably, would not want to go through the sickness. It affects so many different people, so many different ways, so if you're not familiar or you're not comfortable with somebody shaking your hand, I don't feel you're snooty or snotty if you just say, I'd rather not, okay? I'm good with that. We have sanitizer all over the building in the bathrooms. So let's just look at it this way, that it's my responsibility to make sure you get this through this safe, and it's your responsibility to make sure I get through this safe. So let's just look out for each other, and if you're not comfortable, just, I'm all right with that. Keep your distance. Some people have masks, some people don't. I'm good with that, whatever you're comfortable with. So Also, we have July 12th. We have Brother Morton Bustard is going to be here with us. And I'm excited about that. He's all excited about coming. So we'll just keep that in mind and put that on your calendars. Make sure you invite family or friends. Every now and then, someone gives me a nice little gift during the COVID. I got a T-shirt from Michael and Sarah Tesh that had to stay safe, stay sanitized, sanctified. And I love to barbecue. And sometimes it's hard to find a real manly barbecue apron. But Brother Ron Wittenbach got me one, and it's a special custom order. It says, "Have you eaten Pastor Roy's backyard barbecue?" I'm a little concerned about what it says under that. It says, "Few have died." I'm hoping no one, Brother Ron, has died, to my knowledge. So anyway, I'm going to hang this right over here, but I am excited. I love the barbecue. I love the fellowship. And we're gonna get back into the swing of some of this stuff as summer wanes on here. But God is so good. God is so good. And I don't know about you. It seems to me that Father's Day, which was just last week, it seems like it was months ago already. I don't know if it's just because I had a very busy week and got a lot of stuff done, or because it really seemed like months ago. But anyway, we're started a series the week before Father's Day on Wednesday, so we're going to be reviewing just a little bit. How many of you remember what we were talking about? Anybody remember, or did everybody forget already? I can't blame you if you forgot, because I have to go back sometimes over my notes and say, huh, where did I leave off at? Because I forget sometimes as well. But we're talking about living our faith, the application of the test, or application of testing. And I believe very strongly this morning, to those of you that are here and those of you that are watching still from home, but I believe very strongly that the church, as well as us as individuals, our family, much to what Brother Marvin Renvick had just said, we are in a season of testing, a season of testing our faith. And when we look at faith, we understand, reading from Scripture, that faith without works is dead. Basically, it's saying faith without action really doesn't do anything. So faith, what is your faith? Now, reviewing, a lot of people look at faith as, well, I'm a Protestant, or I'm a Catholic. That's not what faith is. You may say, I'm Baptist, or I'm Lutheran. That is an organization of religion. It is a religious organization, but it doesn't tell me much about your faith. Now, we have taken that as a nation, as a religious community, and we have taken that and looking at faith, not as James addresses faith, or as Jesus addressed faith, as a grain of mustard seed. And now when we look at faith, that's what our faith consists of. So when we look at faith, I would describe this as a misplaced or a dead faith. I wanted to have a little water here for some reason. I was outside in the sun a lot yesterday. And have you ever been out in the sun all day and you just get a little parched? I think my body's still a little parched. But nevertheless, excuse me. So faith without works is dead. Misplaced faith, non-existent faith, is dead. So how would one describe reviewing dead faith? First, we looked at dead faith is merely having a head knowledge of faith. We live in a world today. I was amazed. I was reading a social media post, which I've spoken of my disdain for social media, but on this social media post, they had the whole passage of Scripture where Jesus talked about, "Judge not lest ye be judged," and they took, and all they had was what we look at it today as, "Judge not lest ye be judged," and everything else in that passage was all blotted out. See, that's how the world looks today. That is a head knowledge of the Scripture. It's not a heart knowledge of the Scripture. We have so many people that love to quote Scripture to Christians. And they love to throw that out there, but they take things out of context, or they only take one little piece of an entire passage and try to make that their point. That's a head knowledge. That's not a heart knowledge. James 2:19 in the NLT says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God." I like how this puts it in the NLT. It says, good for you. Kudos. Awesome. Even the devil believes this. And they tremble in terror. So you can say, well, I have faith. I believe there's one God. What does James say? He says, well, kudos to you. So does the devil. He believes that also, and he trembles. Second is dead faith is merely a faith tongue. Or a tongue faith, saying something without anything backing it up. We live in a world today where people say a lot of things, but they don't always have what it takes to back it up. And third, reviewing is dead faith. Dead faith makes God's word of no effect. Mark 7:13 in the Classic Amplify says, thus you are nullifying and making void and of no effect the authority of the Word of God through your tradition, which could be also as through your traditional faith, which you in turn hand on, and many things of this kind you are doing. Excuse me. Having a hard time this morning. Devil must not want this to be said. I'll blame it on him. One of the great sins of modern humanity is the tendency to nullify the Word of God. And we nullify the Word of God in favor of human traditions, and many of those human traditions, faiths or organizations of faiths, write their own traditions. So what ends up happening is we no longer have faith in the Word of God. There's a reason the Scripture is in there, Elder Caskey. Good to see the Caskeys back as well. It speaks of when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, will he find any faith? I find that Scripture to be a bit of an amazing Scripture. I also love the passage where Jesus was having a very heavy conversation with Peter. And he looked at Peter and he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And then he went on to tell Peter, he says, Peter, I pray that your faith not fail thee. I'm afraid today that there's a lot of Christians that are going through a sifting process, and in this process, their faith is failing them because they have put their faith in the wrong things. We can fall into that as Christians. We can have faith in our own abilities. When you're self-employed, it's real easy sometimes to have faith in your own abilities. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in God. First, we talked about living faith speaks with the mouth, what's in the heart. We got to our second point about living faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. When we hear, what we hear comes in as a thought. And this should tell us how important it is when dealing with our thoughts. Talked about, or I spoke or reviewing about how difficult it is at times to keep your thoughts in captivity. When the Bible speaks about keeping every thought in captivity, I will tell you it has been a struggle for me over the last 3 months to keep every thought in captivity. It's very easy to tell people to do that. It's much more difficult to actually do that. So when we hear is a thought, that's the reason why Paul talks in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So simply said, tongue faith consists of words without any action. James 2, 16 and 17, or chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. In the Message, I love how the Message puts this. Sometimes the Message can get a little bit wordy. That's a version of Scripture. Okay, someone was wondering maybe what the Message was, but in the Message it says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? You ever sit down with somebody and they tell you exactly what you want to hear, but you know that that's not how things really are? This is what he's saying here. Do you think you'll get anywhere if in all of this, if you learn all the right words to say or all the right words but never do anything? There's merely talking faith. Just because you can talk about faith, does that indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you can come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? You see, it becomes very obvious that God talk, and we have a lot of God talk going on without much God action. If there's not God action behind your God talk, then it really simply has no power, no authority, nothing, not much there. So we're going to move into new ground where we didn't finish off that Wednesday evening. So our third point is a living faith that activates your spiritual gifts. Now understand something, when the Scripture talks about spiritual gifts, this is not a lesson on spiritual gifts. Okay, we could save that for later. That could be a service lesson when we talk about spiritual gifts. But spiritual gifts that God gives to His church, that God gives to you as individuals, and I'm not just talking about the prophecy and the pastoring and the teaching and the preaching and all of those things. There's gifts of administration. There's gifts of help. There's all kinds. Every ministry we have here, every one of you as an individual sitting here today, has gifts that God has given you. Those are gifts from God. Sister Margaret, that's a gift from God. The talent that God has given you, that's a gift. And those gifts were never designed by God to be dormant. They were never designed by God for you to just sit on them week after week, month after month, and year after year. So living faith gives us power to declare the person we are becoming and to chart our course toward our divine destiny. And I believe more than ever, the day we live in right now, we need to more than ever to activate the faith that God has given to us, because the world needs it now. Your neighbors need it now. Your co-workers need it now. So when we know we possess what the Bible says we possess, we can then build faith to activate what we possess. When we activate our gifts with our living faith, we allow God to make our lives count. You ever felt like your life didn't count for anything? But when we allow God to use our lives and we allow the faith that He gives to each and every one of us to activate that faith, we allow God, that's when our lives really begin to matter. Many people wait around for their spiritual gifts to activate themselves, and then they wonder why God doesn't ever use them. The Holy Ghost wants to use you and me right now, but we must activate our gift through living faith, governed by prayer and our response to the Word of God. And when our activated faith is a living faith. Our living faith is a strong faith. It's not a weak faith. It's not a faltering faith. It's not a limited faith, but our living faith stands strong. Living faith is learning to stand strong and not quitting in the face of adversity. Paul addresses the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 in the Classic Amplified. He says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Your conviction respecting men's relationship to God and divine things, keeping the trust and holy fervor born of faith and a part of it. Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. When you have a living faith, you become wise to the tactics of the enemy as the enemy tries to move you by circumstances in your life or by pressures. I'm learning a lot of this right now in my own personal life. We have to understand that you will be able to stand stronger in the face of adversity when you actify and have faith living within you. Living faith will bring about a level of maturity. Sometimes we can, I'm just going to pause here. I'm going to try to get this, man. Sometimes as Christians, we think tenure. Hear me now. We think tenure, or because we've been here for 10 years, that we're mature. But I know more Christians that have been around for a very long time, and they're not very mature. And the reason is because they've never had to really face adversities the way that they should have to face, or that we face adversity. Maturity. Living faith will bring about a level of maturity, and with that maturity comes stability. Did you get that? Maturity and stability in Christ are very important. We want to be mature in Him, but with maturity comes stability. So if you ever get tired of this up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Life is not and was not designed to be a roller coaster as a Christian. We talk about roller coaster Christians, people that are up and down, up and down, up and down. You see, living faith changes a roller coaster Christian into a stable man or woman of God who is able to resist the devil and stand firm in the face of adversity. It means you have come to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in Mark 11, 22 through 25, Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God. In the New Classified Amplified, it has in parentheses, constantly. That means every day, all day, not just when you're at church, not just when worship singing is going on, not just when you're with a bunch of your Christian friends, but constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt it at all in his heart, but believes that is what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. And then it says, trust and be confident. That's where mature faith comes in. That it is granted to you and you will get it. So stay strong in your faith. Next point is living faith obeys the word of God. It amazes me sometimes when I'm struggling or when people are struggling, how often and how easy it is to just ignore the Word of God. It's not that we do it on purpose. We're just looking for another solution that doesn't cost us something. Because every test that we go through with Jesus Christ, every test that God gives us, He's looking for something from us in that test. Are you aware of that? Have you figured that out yet? Okay, so we should obey the Word of God even when our natural mind thinks differently. It takes practice. It takes practice and perseverance not to respond in the natural when the Spirit is moving perhaps in another direction. There's an example of this in Luke chapter 5 when Peter and his disciples had been fishing all night long and had caught absolutely nothing. In Luke 5:4, Jesus gives Peter a very specific instruction. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out in the deep water and lower your nets for a haul." In verse 5 of the King James Version, Peter responds by this way, "And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night." You don't understand it, Jesus. We have been here all night long, and we have not caught one single fish. But then he says, in faith, and a living faith, because he acts upon this. He says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." In today's vernacular, Peter was saying, "God, I don't get it." Have you ever told that to God? "God, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're trying to do, but I'm going to do what you asked me to do just because you have asked me to do it." Peter obeyed and netted such an enormous catch of fish that the Bible says that their nets were breaking under the strain. You see, God wants you and I as His children to receive blessings. He wants us to see our church, our family, enlarged and increased. But we must let down our nets and take up the great catch that God has for each and every one of us in our lives. But in order for us to do that, we must show maturity in Him. And maturity in Him, the response of our maturity is obedience. When we're mature in God, then we are obedient to what He tells us to do. There's no such thing. There's so much in this little exchange between Jesus and Peter. There's no such thing when you get into a little bit of faith. There's a lot. We have a lot of faith. We have a little bit of mustard seed produces the moving of a mountain. And living faith sees giving as a way of increase. Now, I want to talk a little bit about tithing. This is not a message on tithing. This is just so you can get the principle behind this. Tithing, when you look at tithing is really kind of a dumb concept. Think about it. Does it make sense that your 90% will have more spending power than your 100%? Well, the reason I say that it's kind of dumb is if I gave you a dollar and you were going to go to McDonald's and buy a dollar Coke, because a small, medium, or large Coke at McDonald's is a dollar, and you're going to buy that dollar Coke, but I gave you 90 cents and took 10 cents. Can you buy that Coke? But faith and principle and living out the Word of God in your life says you can. But when you go up to that counter and you lay down 90 cents, they're going to tell you you're short. You go to your banker. Some of you are going through the process of getting a home or car or vehicle. They don't ever count that 10% you give to the church, do they? They don't consider that. You consider that. You see, so tithing is foolish in the mind of a natural man to give away 10% of your income. I see some of these politicians, it's kind of funny. They like to brag about how much they give. You're making $25 million and you give a few hundred dollars to a charity. You see, truthfully, that will seem foolish to anybody who doesn't understand biblical principles of increase. In Scripture, the only topic that Jesus taught about more than money was the kingdom of God. You know why? Because he realized that his church was going to have problems with money. The number one problem in marriages is still money problems. Husbands and wives fight over money. Some of his teachings, you look at in Luke 16, 10 and 11. He who is faithful in the very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is also dishonest and unjust also in much. Therefore, if you had not been faithful in the case of unrighteousness, mammon or deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust you with the true riches? What here Jesus is saying is, listen, if I can't trust you with a little, how can I trust you with a lot? I remember years ago I prayed earnestly. I needed a vehicle, and it was $500. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God didn't. I prayed for a miracle. Lord, I need five. I never got the $500. I got a vehicle, not that vehicle, but nevertheless, I remember a long time after that, I was upset about that. And God just kind of thumped me one day and said, well, what do you do with the little I give you? What are you doing with your little? You wonder why some people have so much faith? Because they've done a lot with their little. It's the same principle. You see, Jesus didn't mean that we should ignore money because it's insignificant. He meant the way that we handle money. The way that we handle money. I'm going to make a statement here. You may disagree with this, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you have a messy car, all right, now understand. If I went out in a parking lot, you opened up your car doors, and there's McDonald's wrappers all over the floor. There's trash all over. It hasn't been cleaned out in months. The bubble gum that you coughed out of your mouth because you almost ran into somebody while you were texting and driving is still on the floor. I'm going to make an assumption that you probably aren't very good with your money as well. You know why? Because if you don't take care of things, you see, how well you are with your money is a good indicator of how well you handle the rest of your life. That's what Scripture tells me. So I really didn't have to go out much of a limb there. What Jesus was saying is how we handle money indicates how we handle other things in our lives. If we can't even handle our money properly in a godly way, then we are going to have problems in all other areas of our life. And trying to finish up here this morning, moving on, living faith will be tested. It will be tested. It will be tested. Our faith will be tested. Unlike the test of faith, the ultimate test of faith is how loudly we praise God in happy times, but also how deeply we trust Him in dark times. This is tough sometimes. Being a retired plumber for 25 years, one of my favorite authors, he was a plumber. His name's Smith Wigglesworth. Any of you ever heard of him? What a man of faith. I have a number of his books. He made the statement, great faith, hear me now, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests, and great triumphs can only come out of great trials. So we must exercise our faith if it's to be effective. You see, our faith is much like a muscle, like your biceps. Boy, mine have been sore lately because I've been doing a lot of extra work that I haven't normally been doing. And so I'm beginning to understand that by working those biceps, by working my arms, that it's very similar. It grows through resistance. That's how your muscles grow. That's why when guys lift weights, that weight they're lifting is resistance. And our faith grows through resistance. And resistance is what? It's trials. It's testing. So remember Abraham. He refused to allow a questioning mind to undercut his faith. Instead, he refused to be ruled by fears about the future. Instead, he was ruled and governed by the kingdom of God and hopes of holy supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit. If our musicians can come at this time, if you can stand to your feet. You see, the prophet Isaiah, God focuses on what God announces in Isaiah 46:11. He says, "Yeah, yes, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it." In Malachi 3:6, God declares, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." I'm so thankful that I serve a God that does not change. Isaiah 40, verse 8, Isaiah sums it up this way, "The word of our God stands forever." Understand, God gave Abraham a promise. It took almost 600 years for that promise to become a reality. And of that 600 years, 430 of those years, Brother Usman, Israel, the promise God gave to Abraham, they spent in slavery. It doesn't seem to be a very good way to build a nation, but God had a plan. God had a purpose. You see, what God promised Abraham, he was able to bring it to pass. It just didn't happen how Abraham thought it was going to happen. So our living faith honors God by counting him able and being fully persuaded of God's willingness and ability to keep his own word. So how does this fit into our daily lives? You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God, good for you. Good. Good for you. Awesome. Even the devils, even demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? So, even the devil believes in Jesus. Even demons believe in Jesus. But you see, you won't find any of them in heaven. So just believing doesn't get you there. You see, what gets you there is having a faith. Saying you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that you actually do believe in Jesus. You see, James says faith is more than just the intellectual knowledge. Faith is something that you do. It's active. It's not passive. Real faith involves making a commitment to trust in Jesus Christ. And church, now more than ever, we need to trust in Him. Maybe you're struggling to make sense of why your relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't seem to be working out how you had hoped it would work out. Could it just simply be that you're not putting your faith into practice properly? James seems to just kind of have it. Anyone who doesn't breathe is dead. And faith that doesn't do anything is just as dead. You see, the word you see James using over and over is do. Do. His message is very clear that real faith shows up in your lifestyle when you do something. And your faith should change you, and it should change the things that you do. What can you and I do today that would be a light to the world, to others, as we show our faith in Jesus Christ? Our world, church, so desperately needs light. How can we serve? I've thought of this. How can I better serve people that don't even come here? How can I better serve people that I run into at different places of business? How can I better support them? How can I better encourage them? See, the best thing that we can use as an example to others is ourselves. And that is, show the world how our faith is changing us. There's no better time than right now to take a stand for Jesus Christ and demonstrate your faith to the world. Our closing passage, 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. And the NLT says, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. Stand firm in the faith. Will there be any faith left on the earth? Boy, I sure hope so. I sure hope I have faith. I hope Calvary Gospel Church has faith. I hope my brothers and sisters have faith. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. As our praise team begins to sing, and if you feel like to come down to the altar and pray, just you could practice. This is so hard, church. Just practice social distancing. I'll be so glad when that word is put into the archives of history. But you could come down and you could address and have a conversation with God. Stepping out is the action that we do.
See you.
Again, church. So great to see all of you today. And, remember, we have Brother Mort Buster coming on July 12th, this Wednesday. This next Sunday, Brother Ben Smith will be bringing a series that will be wrapping, kind of taking this series I just completed to a picking up with that and moving into kind of faith for healing and faith for things that you are desiring in your life. It's going to kind of tie in and lead us up to Brother Buster being here. But God bless you all. Thank you all for coming. Continue to just remember Sister Pat Puckett in your prayers. Continue to remember Brother Pat Huber. And then also Brother John Rivas was taken to the hospital Friday, I believe. Spent Friday night in the hospital with some health issues. Just pray for Brother John Rivest. He's home now, but they were due to go on vacation, and they've kind of canceled their vacation. They're going to stay at home, but it's not anything like life-threatening, but just continue to pray. Pray for one another. We still have a long way to go through all of this COVID mess. I'm just sick of it all. I don't know how the rest of you are, but I'm sick of it all. But anyway, God bless you. Love you all. Make sure if you shake a lot of hands or if you shake hands, please use the hand sanitizers located throughout the building. Thank you so very much, Sister Kim, Brother Marv, praise team. God bless you all.